Çalı muazzam değil mi? Hangi canlı? Belki mi? Kalbiyen. Kerr is my father. Nahar, my brother. And Harry, my other brother. Harry died. I married. Married Sarah. The prettiest woman in all the earth. And then he married milk him father, so he married me. I know you don't do that. But he did. So what are you going to do about it now? Well, Terry, my father, he is the boss. And he said we're going to move west. So I was all there, me, and Lot was his parents' son, and when they heard him, you know, that they wouldn't go. He was like that one, and a little kid, too. And so we went west, and we stopped at a place called Harry, because my father wanted to stop there. And it was like the same name as my brother. That's an strange name. Named Italian to my dead brother. And it seemed strange to me that we named the capital after a dead saint. My father only wanted to rest a short time in Harry, except he died there, which wasn't a total surprise because he was 205. Are you following all this? Sometimes it gets so complicated. I can't remember. I can't remember what I'm supposed to do now. I'm tired, huh? I'm gonna sit down. Put some music in it. Yeah. Put it on It was inherent that I had a vision of God. He called me. He said, Abram, Leave your country and your father's household and go to a land that I will show you. It's a hard thing. Sarah and I had no children. Our friends were all we had. Here is our home. But I trusted God. And He made to me a promise. I was afraid of forgetting. I wrote down the words. And I kept saving all this time. My eyes are too old. But read God's word to me.
I will bless you.
I was 75 years old, a young man. We set out for Canaan. We came to Canaan. You remember the great famine? Of course you don't. There was no food. And so the land that God had sent us to, already we had to leave. Does that trouble you? To obey God and then have something go wrong? He does not call us to a life of ease. We are to be faithful to Him and to His call, no matter what. So we went to Egypt with food. I had a problem. My wife, Sarah, she was gorgeous. Every Egyptian man turned his head to see her. And he laughed and he joked because she was 65 years old and think it's strange that a woman of her age should be of such beauty. But she should. And I knew what they did in Egypt. Pharaoh claimed the most beautiful women for his harem. And I was afraid because if there was a beautiful woman and she was married, he would have her husband killed when he could have. I said, Sarah, tell me that my sister. 3 days. And Pharaoh's officials told Pharaoh of the beauty of Sarah. He sent for her and he took her into his palace and into his harem. And he poured on her great wealth. Sheep and cattle and slaves. But God poured on him great wrath. And great sickness came on him and his family. And so he called me into his palace. And I don't know how he knew. He said, Abraham, why have you lied to me? The Egyptians are big truth. He expelled Sarah and me and Lot and all the possessions. And I knew it as we traveled northeast of the caravan, thinking how ashamed I was and how amazed I was. Ashamed for what I had done to put my life virtue at risk for my safety. And amazed at the intervention of God on our behalf. We came to Canaan. And it was a time of great problems and of great prosperity. Problem with my nephew, Lot. I wished his brother had never died. It was a constant burden. And great prosperity. God appeared to me again in a vision. And I was afraid. And he said, "Vision, Abram, don't be afraid. For I am your shield and great reward." And I said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, what good is the reward? I have no children. I have no one to leave my wealth to. It will go to Eliezer of Damascus, a slave born in my house." God said, "Aaron, come outside." I would fall. Both would fall. God said, "Amen. Look at the star. Count." There are a lot of stars. He said, "Abraham, as you cannot count the stars in the sky, so you will not be able to count the offspring that will come from you." And it was there. And I believe God. I believe God. And he counted it to me as if it were righteousness. Do you know what that means? It means it's like a coupon. If I give my faith to God, and he gives his righteousness to me. Oh, and many other things are part of the story. You can read it. There's a book about me. It's really about God. But I'm in 14 chapters. It's called The Bible. Good book. It tells a lot of good things. Tells the bad things too. Does that a lot. tells about my faith. It tells about my life. It tells private things. It tells about God's covenant, circumcision, and bringing down the world. It tells about Lot. Tells about the time when three visitors came to my tent. I thought they were men, but they were angels, and men of the sky. And how they said that we would have a child. And how Sarah laughed. And then they went to Sodom. And the men of Sodom wanted to rape the men. They wanted to rape Abraham. And God told me, He told me He was going to destroy Sodom. I prayed and I said, God, there's 50 righteous people in Sodom. Won't you spare 50 righteous people? And God said, yeah. I said, well, they're 40. They're 20. And why? But they weren't why. So God poured fire from heaven. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. The only to escape were Lot's daughter and Lot. And Lot's wife. And she ended up a salt chicken. But all those are not the details that are important. My story can be told to my children. My children. God promised me. Promised me, and promised Sarah that we would have a son. We waited. Every month we had hope, and every month the hope was shattered. Finally, when I thought the hope was gone, and Sarah had this gesture. She had this servant girl, Hagar. She said, Abram, take Hagar into your bed. Make her pregnant. And we'll count the child as my child. I know that seems strange to you. It's what the heathen of our day did. I don't know. Seems to me like a good idea. But all the consequences. A son was born. Named him Ishmael. He had many offspring. God promised him that. But you called him Aaron. Consequences and the conflicts continue until they're born. Sarah hated Ishmael and Hagar. She insisted I throw them out of the house. I did, but I love Ishmael. And then God in His mercy did not pour his wrath on us for trying to manipulate his miracle. It happened. I was 99 years old. Sarah was 90. And she was pregnant. And we got to laugh. We laughed a lot. We were the oldest couple at the birthing class. By 60 years. We would watch the people. They looked at us going down the street, and she was so big. And we would laugh at the expressions on their faces. And when our son was born, we laughed again. We laughed not from humor, but from joy that God's promise had come true. When he was a baby, he would awaken in the night. And sometimes I would go. And it took me so long. But by the time I got there, it's asleep. We laughed. We laughed. And we laughed and we laughed. We haven't laughed for a very long time. And so we named him Isaac. And he, Isaac, means laughter. Oh, I still love this man. My heart aches for him. But I love God. He was the son of promise. The line of the Messiah. The miracle from God. I watched him grow. And I took great joy in every day. But when he was an adolescent, God spoke to me again in a vision. He called Abraham the father of Israel. It was my greatest test. He said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, to Mount Moriah. And kill it. Offer him to me as a burnt offering. I did not sleep that night. Nor did I hesitate the next morning. I awakened early. Awakened early. Got Isaac and some of the servants and the wood and the fire. And we traveled to Mount Moriah. And I told the servants to wait at the bottom. And Isaac and I climbed the mountain together. He said, Father, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And I said, my son, God will provide. He took the stone and built the altar. Boy, my son was big and strong. but he obeyed. But I told him to climb on top of the wall. I took the cord. And I bound his hands and his feet. What does a father do? The God whom I love and trusted told to kill my son whom I love. God didn't ask for human sacrifice. He was not like the pagan deities. I trusted. I knew he would do me no wrong. I wondered if somehow he would bring me back to life again. Oh, God, that could never be bad. I stood over the altar. And I held the dagger. My hands trembled. I looked in Isaac's eyes. I saw the terror and the wonder. He did not have to speak. His eyes asked how a father who loved him could do such a thing. I resolved to plunge quickly so his pain would be over. As I lifted it up, a voice from heaven said, "Abraham!" And it was the angel speaking for God. He said, "Stop! Do not harm your son." Now I know that I fear me and obey. There was the bleating of a ram, its horns causing a flicker. I loosed Isaac. And we took the ram and we sacrificed the ram in my son's place. I trusted God. And God did me no harm. I lived 40 more years. Sarah died. She was 127 years old when I died. I mourned the one said. I bought a field at the cave called Machpelah. He buried her there. You call me Abraham, the man of faith. But I tell you that he is a God easy to trust. No, not easy, but worthy to trust. And now I have a question for you. Do you trust me? Do you have faith in God? Would you leave your home and your family? Would you go wherever God asks? Would you give up anything for him? Even gave his son for love. I know some of you may leave here tonight and say, that old Abraham, he was a man, a great man. Don't you do that. You leave here tonight and say, not that Abram had great faith, but that Abram's God is the great God. Give no praise to Abram. Praise Abram God.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the land. Fear the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Have you ever seen a tree that's dying? I feel so sad when I see a tree with no fruit or any new leaves. For a tree to be strong and healthy, it needs to get its roots far down into the earth where it can draw out water and grow. The leaves and the fruit are a sign of life in that tree. You and I are supposed to be like trees. The way for us to grow big and strong is to be rooted deep into the living waters and the living word. When we have our roots in God, He will make us the strong young trees He wants us to be.
Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. John 15:5.
I saw a tree by the riverside one day as I walked along. Straight as an arrow and pointing to the sky and growing tall and strong. How do you grow so tall and strong? I said to the riverside tree. This is the song that my three friends sang to me. I've got roots growing down to the water. I've got leaves growing up to the sunshine. And the fruit that I bear is a sign of the life in me. I am shade from the hot summer sun down. I am nest for the birds of the heavens. I'm becoming what the Lord of trees has meant me to be. A strong young tree.
Strong young tree.
Our next song is about growing. Growing up as God's children means we grow in many different ways. Sometimes we grow up, sometimes we grow down. Sometimes we grow out, and other times we grow in. We love to grow tall, but there are sometimes we also need to grow small. We're growing every day, and that's what it's all about.
Thank you.